All right, so we continue this morning with our next fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of patience. So Galatians chapter 5, if you have not already opened up to there, Galatians chapter 5 is where the fruit of the Spirit is located. And we'll read from verses 22 to 25 again, just to remind us here of the context of the fruit of the Spirit. So verse 22 of Galatians 5 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the spirits." All right, so this morning we have already gone through the first three fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, and peace. Today we move on to patience, and the question is, which fruit best exemplifies the fruit of patience? Real quick, can you guys remember the other ones? Which one was love? Love was the peach, right? Because there's nothing sweeter and greater than the peach. What about for joy? What was joy? It was the apple. Why was it the apple? Yes, the extra boost and satisfaction, right? So what about for peace? The blueberries. Why the blueberries? Yeah. What's that? Okay, yes, yep. Mm-hmm. Help with the anxieties, the anxiousness, right? So same thing with biblical peace, brings calmness to our souls. What about now for patience? Which fruit best exemplifies patience, Andrew?
Tomato.
You say the tomato every week. Why? I know you do. It's not tomato, yeah. What?
The pear.
The pear. Why do you think the pear?
Because
both
start with P.
Okay. Well, I could think of worse reasons, so okay. Good. All right. Yeah, Faith.
A tree, because the tree takes 4 to 7 years to grow.
Okay. Wow, that's really good. 4 to 7 years to grow for a cherry tree? Wow. That is impressive. I maybe would have changed my answer based if I would have known that, but it is not the cherry. But I like the logic of that answer. Yeah.
Kiwi.
Not the kiwi. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of a fruit. So we think about patience. Patience often has to deal with people. And so I'm thinking about the fruit that helps fight off irritants to the body. Or the fruit that helps you to endure hard illnesses. Yeah. What's that? Orange, is that what you said? Very good. Yes. So for the fruit of the Spirit, for patience, I think oranges. Because oranges have been the staple fruit of the immune system. Right? So when we think of medicines, or we think of special immune boosting products, right? What is always the fruit that is displayed?
Vitamin C.
Well, right. So when we think of vitamin C, we always think of oranges. So if you were to pick up a package of Airborne or a package of Emergency, any of those, what fruit is always on the label? It's an orange. You see, because the orange is the fruit that packs a ton of vitamin C. And even, I don't know about you, but even when you just look at an orange, there's kind of just this calming presence about it, right? Its color is just very, like, you just feel more patient looking at an orange. But the reason the orange is so helpful is because it helps fight off those irritants to the body, whether you are preventing any type of illness, or you're actually fighting off an illness. It can be either preventative or responsive, and I think that's a helpful way for us to think about the fruit of patience. So we think about patience today. Oh, did we get note sheets, by the way? Did you guys already pass those out? Good job. Thank you. I just realized that would be important to have. But you'll find this definition on your note sheet. Is that patience is the supernatural fruit of enduring hardship for the sake of godliness. Patience is the supernatural fruit of enduring hardship for the sake of godliness. As we go across this morning, we'll explain a little bit more about what we mean by that here. Because again, this idea of patience, we're talking about fighting off irritants. We think about maybe people as things that are hard in our life at times. And so we're going to think more about what does that actually mean to imitate godly patience in the midst of irritating circumstances or people maybe that even sometimes irritate us with their behavior. But as we've done with the last couple of weeks, I think we need to think, first of all, what does the world often think when it relates to patience? So what's our cultural understanding of patience? Yeah, what do you think? What's that? Okay, you actually you're on track for something, and we're going to get to it in a moment. But even before we get there, I think that there are maybe two unhelpful ways that we often associate with patience. The first is that patience is merely tolerating. That patience is merely tolerating. And this usually has to do with people, right? So maybe you hear the word of being patient towards somebody as merely just tolerating that person. And so it communicates, when you hear the word tolerate, it communicates a very passive mindset. A very passive approach to patience. With people who maybe annoy us or irritate us, we may just try to endure them. We just tolerate them. In other words, we can't wait for a conversation to be over, and we're trying to move on to someone or something bigger and better than that person. And so it's very passive, and so that's why we think of it as tolerating. And I think our culture does this a lot as it relates to people. But the other way that I think that we think about patience is what Andrew just said here, is we think of patience as merely just waiting. Patience is merely waiting. We think about this with like places all the time, right? So this mindset here paints patience as something very dull and boring, right? So to be patient is not necessarily a very exciting characteristic as a Christian. So we think about putting a mask on our discontentment as we wait for something that we want or we need, right? So we think about patience as it relates to waiting in line for like a roller coaster, right? Or we think about patience as waiting for getting into the doctor, right? We have to sit in the waiting room. It's actually called a waiting room. Or you have to be on the waiting list at a restaurant so that you can get a table and sit down and then even have to wait for your food. A lot of waiting. And yet we're called to be patient in all of it. Was there another example you had? What's that?
Fishing.
Yeah. Fishing. Oh, yes, fishing. Fishing is a whole nother level of patience for sure, indeed. So the question is, how can we better understand then what the Bible teaches about patience? Because patience, according to the Bible, is not just merely tolerating people, and it is not merely just waiting for events to take place. So let's look at a biblical picture of patience. And before we actually look at the two ways that the Bible describes patience, I think it's helpful to actually think about the word patience and what the word itself means. So the word actually for patience is a really fun word. I want you to think about learning this word because it's just fun to say. So the word in Greek is this word makrothumia. Makrothumia. It's just a fun word to say. And so what the word makrothumia means is it's two parts. Macro. So you guys think about macro. Macro means what usually? Like big? right? So in this case, the idea is long, and the word thumia is temper. And so to be macrothumia is to have long-tempered, long-suffering, as some definitions would call it. And so it's interesting because the word temper is actually a word that's often associated with the word like nostrils. And so in many ways, macrothumia is kind of a word of saying long-nostriled or long-nosed. So to be patient is kind of like, it's this illustration of to be long-nosed or to be big-nostriled because you have a higher tolerance for other people. We think of like anger in like movies or like cartoons, right? Sometimes like the steam comes out people's like nostrils or out their ears. That's this idea of patience here, is that you have a higher tolerance of those things. But again, it's not just tolerance. Think of Pinocchio, right? Pinocchio had to obviously have good patience. But what this speaks to is that you have self-restraint in response to things that are provoking or provocative. And that can include, right, the obnoxious acts and attitudes of other people. Or it can include the discomfort of hardship with people, places, or situations that God places you in. You can endure those things in a way that's pleasing and honorable to God. And so from the outset, we define patience as enduring hardship for the sake of godliness. But the question is, how is it that patience is a reflection of God? How is it that patience is a reflection of God? And even more importantly, as we've been studying the fruits of the Spirit, how is it that Jesus himself displayed patience in his own life and ministry? Well, I think there's two different ways that we can look at that this morning. So the first is that to display biblical patience is to follow God's character. It's to follow God's character, because if we're honest with ourselves and we look at the big storyline of the Bible, what we see is a God who is immensely patient. Seriously, if there's one thing I want you to walk away from this morning, as it relates to patience, is I want you to think more about God and think about how immensely patient God is with you. So the first picture of patience is of Jesus's patience towards his own people. I like the way that Jerry Bridges describes impatience. He says, impatience is the strong sense of annoyance at the faults or failures of others. Have any of you felt that way towards somebody else before? A strong sense of annoyance at the faults or failures of other people. I think if we were probably all honest this morning, we would shake our head yes. In fact, some of you may have experienced that type of impatience this morning if you were willing to admit it. But how do we think about Jesus' patience? Because the reality is, I mean, if anybody had faults and failures, it's us, right? It's our own lives. And yet Christ was not impatient. He didn't express a strong sense of annoyance towards us. But rather, I love the way 1 Timothy 1:15-16 says this. It says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Which, by the way, let's just pause there for a moment. I love that Paul, when he like evaluates his life, he doesn't just say like, I was a pretty bad person. I was probably within the 50 percentile of sinners. No, he says, I was the foremost. And that's not because Paul himself was the worst sinner who ever lived. It's just when you look at your own life, guys, if you were just to be honest and to reflect on your own hearts, not just all the sins that you've ever done externally, but even just the sins of your own hearts, it's kind of hard not to come to that conclusion. It's kind of hard not to think, man, I am a pretty bad person. And that's what Paul came to in this conclusion here in verse 15. But I love then what he says in verse 16. He begins it with, but, right? But I received what? Mercy. I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Thinking about verse 15 there again, we're talking about how patience and impatience especially is usually associated with the faults and failures of others. We have to first recognize, guys, how annoying and irritating we have been to God. We have to think about that for a moment. It's impossible for you to grasp biblical patience until you really recognize your own sin, your own faults, your own failures. In fact, as we learned last week, it's not just that you have sinned, it's that, as Romans 5:10 says, you are an enemy of God. You're at odds with God. But notice it says here that Jesus didn't merely tolerate us passively, right? So this is where the world misconstrues patience. He didn't just tolerate us passively, but rather he lovingly engaged us. And he did so how? Well, he came to save sinners. Instead of passively tolerating us, he actively engaged us, and he loved us, and he loved us to the infinite degree by even laying down his life. And he did so, as this describes here, as a perfect display of his patience. There's a lot of words that we often associate with Christ and salvation and his character. We think of words like grace. We think of words like love. We think of words like mercy. But how many of you have ever stopped to think about the word patience? Think about how God, in your rebellion and your sin, was so patient with you. In fact, if you're a Christian here this morning, it's only because Jesus Christ was so patient with you. And for some of you, he's been patient with you a really long time. For some of you, the patience, it may not have been that long in your life before you became a Christian, yet it's still magnificent, right? Some of you maybe became Christians when you were 5 years old, and if so, praise God for that. But still, in 5 years, God displayed perfect patience in your life while you lived in sin and rebellion against him. If you're someone like myself or my wife, you're talking about 19 years. 19 years of patience. You talk to some people in our church, some of even the seniors in our church, some of them didn't even come to know Christ until maybe a few years ago. You think about living 60, 70, maybe 80 years in sin and rebellion against God before becoming a Christian. Can you even fathom the perfect patience of God? His love and grace giving them another day to see life. You see, each year that passed before you became a Christian was a shining example of God's patience with you. And it's rooted in God's character, right? He says, I received mercy. See, God did not give us, if you are a Christian this morning, he did not give you what you deserve. But rather, he actively showed compassion to you. And he presented his patience to you as a perfect example. That's important, right? It says he presented it as a perfect example to you. It's not just that he was patient. It was that he did so as an example for you. When you guys think of a teacher who does an example on the board, right, in your class, math class perhaps, why does the teacher do the example on the board? What's the point of the example on the board? Yeah. Okay, for reference. What else? What's that? Yeah, to actually show you. They don't just do it for the sake of just doing it to show you, hey, I know how to do math, right? We already know that, right? But no, they do it so that you then are able to put it into practice yourself. You see, Jesus dying for us in our sin and rebellion wasn't just so that we could see, okay, he knows how to do that, but it's to show us how we ourselves should do it as well. It's so that we know how to be patient with other people. And let's just admit it, guys, this is the part that we often forget. When we're impatient with other people, it's because we forget about how patient God was with us. When we fail to forgive other people, it's because we fail to remember how God forgave us. And so God wants us to see the example of Jesus and how patient he was with us. And he wants us to implement that then into our very lives. To the person who gives you a hard time at school for being a Christian, or to the kid in class or on your sports team who annoys you because of their attitude or behavior, for the sibling, right? The sibling who tries to annoy you or get you in trouble. I'm sure that doesn't happen here, right?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought, right? Of course it happens. If you are in Christ, which is necessary, by the way, remember, we've talked about this with all the fruits of the Spirit. You can't really, truly display the fruit of the Spirit unless you are connected to Christ, have a relationship with him. So if you're going to display this type of patience, then you have to be rooted in Christ first. You can be patient with your sibling. You can be patient with that kid on the sports team. You can be patient with that person who gives you a hard time at school because you know how patient Jesus Christ was with you. Such patience towards others really echoes throughout the entire New Testament. It's a lot of passages that we've talked about in recent weeks, right? We've talked a lot about Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says to put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. This is key to how we live in harmony and unity with one another, is that we have to live with a mindset of patience. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? You guys are probably all familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. I think it's interesting that the very first characteristic of love that Paul describes is that love is patient. In other words, if you're going to truly love other people, it begins with being patient with them. It's the first attribute of love. And before we move on to our second manifestation of patience here, guys, kind of going back to what we were just talking about, if you're a Christian here this morning, it's simply because God has been patient with you. But on the flip side of that as well, if you are here this morning and you're not a Christian, guess what? It's because God is still being patient with you. Even though you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is still being patient with you right now. Because 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. The only reason that you are here this morning, if you are not a Christian, is because God is patient. But guess what? I mean, just like everything, God's patience will have an expiration date. Every day that goes by is an immense testimony of his patience. But he does not want you, if you are not a Christian here this morning, he doesn't want you to perish not having a relationship with him. And so that's just a reminder for you that don't abuse the patience of God. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, you need to do so. And God delights to have you enter into his family. So don't abuse that patience that he's displayed. So a biblical picture of patience is obviously following God's character, but it is also trusting God's control. This has to do more with situations than it does with people. If our first point was about emulating God's mercy, this one points to our hope in God's plans. I think this is most clearly demonstrated in 1 Peter chapter 2, which really is perfect timing for us as we think about Good Friday coming up this week. Speaks a lot to Jesus when he endured the cross. Peter writes, "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you," what's that word again? "An example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. But when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly." This is where we get the other popular word for patience, which is that term long-suffering. And the word long-suffering comes, I mean, you can guess just by breaking the word down. It's to suffer long. It's to tolerate or to put up under wrongdoing for an extended period of time. Or as we've said in our definition, it's to endure hardship. This is not just about people, but about places and situation where God has placed us, where he does call us to be patient and look to the big picture, right? Because for Jesus, the only thing that got him through tough times was not complaining about it. Notice that was not his method. When he was having to endure pain and suffering and hardship, he didn't complain. He didn't curse the people. He didn't try to find a way out of it. But rather, it says that he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, which is God himself. And so we think about the fact that there are times in life where God does call us to wait. And that waiting is rooted in a hope of something that's even better, that God has in store for us, something that he's stored up that's eternal in nature. Because as reality is, when we give in to sin and to our difficult situations, it's because we set our eyes on the things of this earth rather than the things to come. We lose that eternal perspective. And so we think about the different situations where God may place us. It might be, you know, that difficult class in school, whether it be for the content or honestly just the people that he surrounds us with. People that give us a hard time. It may be that job that you have to work that may not be particularly enjoyable for that season of life. For some of you, that waiting and that expectation may come in more painful areas of life emotionally. Perhaps waiting to get married or to meet a special someone to spend your life with. Or for some of you, that waiting to be able to have children. Like, these are very real things that people every day are forced to trust God on and to wait and to put their hope in something so much greater. Even the simple difficulties of being a Christian in your school and in the society today, right? That's kind of the context of 1 Peter chapter 2. He's saying he's giving you an example so that you, when you are suffering as a Christian, when you're enduring hardship at the hand of other people, you have an example to look to and you have an eternal perspective in mind, knowing that it's not about this life. You see, patience takes the big picture perspective, the long-term perspective. It's kind of that idea that we were even talking about with waiting for like a roller coaster, right? You obviously have to wait in line, but you know that there's something at the end of it that's worth waiting for. There's something exciting at the end of it. And so it's really keeping in mind what Paul talks about in Romans 8:18. He says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed." Right? That waiting line for, you know, I think about last year we were at a ride at Animal Kingdom, right? Yeah, down at Disney for this really awesome ride. We'd always heard about this Avatar ride, and it was like a 2-hour wait in line. I'm like, this is not exactly the way that I want to spend my time. And yet, when we got to the ride, I can tell you this, 2 hours, well worth the time. Well worth the time for the ride. It's the mindset that God calls us to have in this life. When we realize that the things that we sometimes have to endure in this life for a while, can be really hard and painful and time-consuming, but it's a reminder that he's pointing us to something so much bigger and so much greater that's at the end. And he says, listen, it's not worth comparing your temporary weight to the glory that's waiting for you at the end. This life, everything that you're enduring now is nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory that you are one day going to experience. But unfortunately, we're prone to impatience, aren't we, right? We're a very impatient people. And rather than live in hope of the prize at the end, we take our focus off of God. It's kind of like if you were in junior high on Wednesday night, do you remember Justin gave you that illustration of like the runner running the race and getting towards the finish line, but then they're like looking all over the place at other people, right? It's prone to trip you up and to make you fall and stumble. Well, that's very much what we're prone to in this life as well, is we fix our gaze not on Christ, but we fix our gaze on everything else, and we fix our gaze on our circumstances and our hardships and our trials, and that's what's going to trip us up. Consider for a moment some of the logical conclusions of impatience. This was interesting to me as I studied this week. First of all, have you ever thought to yourself that every sin that you commit, think about this for a moment, every sin that you commit is actually an expression of impatience? In other words, I'm not saying that impatience is sin, which it can be, but I'm saying that every sin that you commit is an expression of impatience. Because you want immediate gratification rather than what God is storing up for you in the end. And so rather than waiting for what God tells you is so much better, you give in to that sinful desire. It's impatience, which is interesting. Secondly, to be impatient is also to be discontent. Because we're not satisfied in God, and that robs us of our joy. If you remember when we talked about joy, joy and contentment are kind of side by side by each other. And so when we give in to sin, or when we're impatient, we're really expressing a discontentment in God. And then finally, impatience is really, this is interesting, impatience is our way of attempting to steal control from God. Impatience is actually a form of theft, because we try to take that control that God is obviously directing in our lives, and we try to take it over ourselves. It's in many ways, it's to be the backseat driver, right? Are any of you guys backseat drivers? You know what I mean by that? In other words, somebody else is driving and yet you're trying to control what they're doing, right? It's to try to take the steering wheel away from God, but to put it in our own lives. You see, when we're impatient, it's many ways saying that we don't trust God to do what we think is right for our lives. We desire to take control because we think that we know better than God. And so it's a very dangerous place for us to be. But as Christians, we are called to express patience by entrusting ourselves completely to God, just as Jesus did, even in the most difficult of life's circumstances, right? The most difficult of life circumstances for Jesus? I mean, we're talking about his suffering, his execution, his trial, everything that went into his own life was a perfect example for us. So how then do we cultivate a heart of patience? Well, as we've seen, there's numerous ways that we can do this from our other fruit. I mean, we begin every week by reminding ourselves that the only way that we can truly cultivate the fruit of the Spirit is by abiding, which, anybody remember what the word for abide means? What does that mean?
Chill.
What's that?
Chill.
Chill? It's kind of like chill, yeah, a little bit. Any other ideas you remember? This is good for us because we're going to come back to this time and time again. To abide means to remain. Or perhaps the better way to think of abide is to stay connected, right? To stay connected to Christ. The one who says in John 15:5, right? The vine and the branches analogy, it's the easiest way to remember what it means to abide, because as a branch, you can do nothing apart from the vine. Same way as a Christian, you can do nothing apart from staying connected to Jesus. And so this maintains the proper role of our role and God's role. But not just to abide, but to pray. To pray. I love the way that Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. He says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and what? Pray for those who abuse you. Perhaps we could change out that last word there. Pray for those who annoy you. Pray for those who frustrate you. Pray for those who try to get you into trouble with mom and dad. Have you ever thought about praying for the people who you have the hardest time being patient for? Consider how you can be more proactive. Again, not just tolerating people passively, but actively loving them by praying for them. Also being thankful. We talk about how Thanksgiving is one of the greatest combatants against sin in our lives. Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He's talking about money here, but I like the connection. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, guys, we talked about how impatience is often connected to our discontentment. And so to cultivate a heart of contentment and satisfaction in God will help us to be more patient. Hope. To be hopeful. This ties into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, where he's talking about the resurrection of all believers in the end, when we get to heaven, basically. And he says, to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is what? Not in vain. In other words, your toil on this life, your work, your hardships, everything you're enduring, he's saying that it's not empty. It's not futile. It's not worthless. It's meaningful because of what's laid up for you at the end. It's the ride at the end of the waiting line. And then finally, if we're going to cultivate a heart of patience, guys, it's going to come through forgiveness. Have you ever considered how patience is actually one of the strongest testimonies of the gospel in your life? Did you notice, did you pick up on this in 1 Timothy 1:15-16? He says, a perfect example to who? To those who were to believe in him for eternal life. In other words, the patience of Christ was an example showing people his great mercy. And so if you're going to emulate and copy that example, that means that other people will see it. They'll notice it. And guess what? They're going to ask you, hey, why is it that you put up with so-and-so and all their garbage? How is it that you are willing to endure this really tough time in your life right now? And you know what you're able to say in that moment? Is the reason that you're able to display that supernatural patience is because of how patient God was with you. Your patience with other people and your ability to forgive other people shows everyone else what God is like. And so do not take for granted everyday life, students. Don't take for granted everyday life where you have the small opportunities to teach other people about who God is. Your character, even in the small things like patience, displays a ton about the God that you worship and the God that you serve. So as you go into this week, remember to abide in Jesus so that you will grow in patience. I truly believe this is one of the greatest ways that we can show other people the love, the grace, the mercy of the God that we serve. So with that, let's go ahead and pray. And you guys can be dismissed. God, we thank you again for the opportunity to reflect this morning on just your immense patience with us. Lord, who are we that you would be mindful of us? That even in our sin and our rebellion against you, you were willing to display your perfect patience so that we might live with you eternally. Pray that, Lord, we would emulate this for others, that they would see the goodness of Christ in our own lives. We thank you. We love you. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.